Hello and welcome to episode 80 of MMO Weekly, presented as always by Chitty's Cheesesteaks. I'm your host, Sal Manzo, joined by MMO editor Chris Bello. Chris, thanks so much for taking some time tonight, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on, and I'm excited to talk Mets baseball.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that, as we're recording here, JD Martinez has made his debut for the Mets. As it stands now, he got a hit in his first at bat. But the man is here, the protection behind Pete Alonso, that DH the Mets have kind of been longing for, which seems like the last few years. The man is here. Just want to get your thoughts, reactions to kind of him joining the big league club now and just kind of, you know, thoughts on the offense now with him here.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge addition to the Mets lineup. Before JD even came here, the Mets were already rolling on offense. And over the last 15 days, I think they're tied in the majors right now with 75 runs scored, obviously, before tonight's game. So another addition to this Mets lineup, it'll give Pete Alonso another bat behind him, which if you go back and look at the guys hidden behind Alonso his whole career, we're talking Robinson Cano, maybe Dominic Smith. Not a lot of great names. So JD Martinez gives the Mets that bat to finally protect Pete Alonso.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike and I have talked on the show before that, you know, after the Mets did sign JD, that this would be the best protection Speed ever had. So you hit the nail on the head there. Outside of that, I'm just curious what you think as far as like what he can bring to the ball club, just like with his, they talked on Apple TV today, just like he's almost a second hitting coach. They called him a journeyman, which I disagree with. Someone with his production and his kind of career, I wouldn't, you know, call a journeyman. Someone who's played a long time, sure, but he's been productive and a great hitter for a while. But I just want to get your thoughts with his kind of presence, now kind of in the Mets clubhouse and how it can maybe affect some of these younger guys.
Yeah, I mean, journeyman's definitely a weird way to put it. Obviously started with the Astros, then bounced to the Tigers. But once he got to the Tigers, really solidified himself. But we saw earlier in the offseason when he did sign that he was helping Vientos a little bit because they had the same either offseason plan or they were together. So it'll definitely be another presence. You know that earlier in his career, he got some help from Miguel Cabrera, so maybe he can bring that over to the Mets. But again, a solid bat in that lineup, number five overall. And you hope that he's able to rub off on guys like Mark Vientos when he eventually comes up. Maybe a Francisco Alvarez, a right-handed bat. Maybe even Brett Beatty, who we've seen struggle a little bit, which we'll get to later. But hopefully that offensive presence is able to rub off and finally take some pressure even off guys like Lindor and Alonso, who have been struggling earlier on in the season with runners in scoring position.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned that as far as, you know, the Mets really have been clicking the last week, couple of weeks as far as with the offense. Without a JD Martinez, like you mentioned too, Lindor and Alonso really kind of struggling pretty mightily with runs in scoring position. Brett Beatty started off well, but really hasn't hit his, has kind of, you know, hit a funk here, which you mentioned we'll get to. And you mentioned Alvarez kind of benefiting from Martinez, especially. I wonder now with this injury, you know, how much that'll take away from it. Hopefully, I don't know how much it's going to be around the clubhouse and kind of all that with the rehab and everything, but you hope that, you know, Alvarez can learn as much as possible for someone like a JD Martinez could probably help someone like him immensely.
Yeah. And, you know, Francisco Alvarez last season had not only a great season, but a historic one in terms of when you compared him and his home runs to Johnny Bench. But sure, just the approach, you know, he did have a low on base percentage under 300. So hopefully maybe JD Martinez can get Alvarez to not change his approach, but be a little bit more consistent getting on base, really tuning into that power and it being more consistent, because it was a little bit of an every other month with Alvarez where you had the hot month, then the cold month. So you really hope that JD Martinez can help out with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, you want to see Alvarez take that next step to be a kind of polished all around hitter. I just, you know, you worry now at this point just how those 8 weeks will affect him, you know, cut, you know, take him off track. Hopefully it's not too much. Obviously, you want the Mets to make the playoffs, but the biggest thing is just production or maturation of these young guys. So, you know, you hope that that Alvarez can get back healthy. And, you know, like we said, it sucks to have him on the shelf for 8 weeks. It's nothing you don't want, but he wasn't particularly off to the hottest start, you know, offensively. And you know, the rest of the offense was kind of, you know, carrying the load. So, you know, even without him now with JD Martinez back, you hope that, you know, things could still kind of level out, so to speak, even when, you know, missing Alvarez and with, you know, Navarez and Nito going to take the bulk of the catching now. Hopefully it won't be too much of a hole in the lineup. You know, someone like Martinez can kind of fill that.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, Funny enough, Alvarez goes down. You get the offense from Narvaez. Tomas Nito hit a home run in tonight's game. So you're getting it almost from everywhere but the guys you expect. Harrison Bader, Tyrone Taylor's been amazing so far. You know, Brandon Nimmo's still hitting under 200. So hopefully JD Martinez is that great connector from the first half of the lineup, which should start hitting soon, over into that bottom half, which has really carried the weight for the Mets early on in this season.
Yeah, definitely. And that, I think, is a good transition, you know, to specifically talking about Francisco Lindor. Obviously, you know, really not a good start to the year. You mentioned his struggles with runners in scoring position. The last week or so has seemed to pick it up, at least from the left side. Just want to get your thoughts from the road trip. You know, he few home runs from the left side, like I said, seems to be taking better swings and at least taking better takes, better approach. Just want to get your thoughts on kind of Lindor's struggles here to start the year.
Well, you know, the three home runs that he hit on the West Coast trip, absolutely huge. All three were from the left-handed side. Mm-hmm. He came off that road trip where he was slashing 375, 400, 792. And it kind of killed that rumor, or not rumor, I should say, but the narrative we saw on Mets Twitter where for some reason everyone was saying Lindor should only bat from the right side. I was reading a lot about that over the weekend, and this is an all-star level shortstop. We knew the offense was going to come. He's had 100 RBIs at 98 with the Mets. He's perennially been a over 100 OPS plus guy his entire career offensively. You knew the bounce back was going to happen. So when you saw those three home runs from the left-handed side, at least for me as a Mets fan, you kind of relieved yourself a little bit. You're like, oof, okay, we're good. He's coming back. So you were never really worrying about Lindor, in my opinion. It was just frustrating to see the struggles with the 0-5 start.
Yeah, and, you know, I didn't really see as much people saying that you should only hit from the right side. I mean, if you, he's a very good switch-hitting shortstop. We know he gets started from the left side, takes him longer. Also, someone notoriously gets off to a slow start to start the year. I think my gripe, more than anything, you could tell me how you feel. I just felt it, and still kind of at points, you know, I don't think they should be afraid to drop him down the lineup. I think that's something that's okay. He doesn't have to hit three consistently, especially the way he was struggling. I think it's okay if he, you know, you moved him down to the five or to the six hole, something like that, just to get him right, maybe see some more fastballs. I don't know how you feel about that. But more so than anything, I just felt like with his struggles, it was kind of daunting to see him batting third every day, and felt like, you know, I don't know if it's the contract, whatever it is, you know, right? You want to hit him in the lineup every day where he is, but I don't see dropping him in the lineup a little bit wouldn't be the worst thing either.
Yeah, you know, dropping him, I think it's a fair conversation to have, just because coming into today, I believe he was 3-for-23 with runners in scoring position. Sure. But with him and Alonso combined, they were 6-for-44. So I totally get the conversation. To me, I'm no expert. I'm not a batting coach. But it looks like he's pressing sometimes. And I think when you listen to Lindor talk to the media, and when you hear the discussions about Carlos Mendoza with SNY, mm-hmm. you can tell that when the fans gave him the ovation, it kind of relieved, you know, he took a deep breath and said, okay, you know, this is my fan base. And sure. It looks like he's pressing either to get the run in, help the team win. Maybe it's a little bit of the fans. I don't know how much we actually are a part of it, but he said it was a huge deal. So dropping him in the lineup, that question, I don't know if I would drop him in the lineup. It kind of reminds me of the same conversation we had back in 2019 with Edwin Diaz. Do we let him close? And if this team is going to be successful, you need Lindor to hit third, and you need him to be a run producer. So it's kind of that same gripe. You know, you could move him sixth, but then who do you put third? Alonso, JD Martinez? I don't know. You could, but personally, sure. I wouldn't.
You know, it's a hard thing, right? Because I could say even, you know, Starling Marte, you could even put him in the three hole if you want. He's obviously had a good year. You want him in the top of the order pretty much no matter what at this point, but I could see him still sliding the three hole if you want to put Lindor down. You can swap him McNeil really if you want to. I don't see that as a big deal between three and six. If one's hotter than the other, obviously Lindor being a switch hitter, it gives you a little more options as far as pitching matchups. But I just, you know, you wonder, like you said, being 3-for-23 at runners in scoring positions, and same thing with Alonso, they're both struggling. But to me, no matter what, Alonso's your cleanup hitter. That's someone I think more than anything I would kind of leave the way the lineup is, and I would, you know, be more apt, like I said, just to move Lindor down a little bit, to take a little bit of the pressure off him. I think Alonso will turn it around. I think they both will. I just think, like you said, it seems like Lindor's pressing. He says that as much, that he always tries to get, feels the pressure trying to drive a run in every time he's at the plate with runners in scoring position. So, you know, I guess whatever they can kind of do to lighten that load and kind of get him going a little bit would be huge, especially with the way the offense is going with so many guys, you know, off the slow starts, like you mentioned.
Yeah, and if you were going to switch around the lineup, I think personally what I would do is I'd maybe move Martinez and Lindor. Mm-hmm. So maybe put Lindor fifth or sixth and put Martinez third. But, you know, McNeil for me grounds into a lot of double plays. It's a lot of weak contact sometimes. So if we're talking about 2021 or 2022, sure. Jeff McNeil, sure, bat him third. But right now I wouldn't put him third.
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I look at more at this point, whoever, if McNeil's swinging a better bat, which he seems like he's turned it around as well, at least has gotten things going. That's kind of just the way I look at it. But, you know, obviously you want all these guys humming on all cylinders. And if you have Lindor doing what he does as a 30-30 guy, obviously you want him in the three hole, but you got to see him getting going. To another infielder, Brett Beatty. Just kind of want to talk about his struggles a bit. Obviously, started the year off well. Did really well driving in runners at home, the first homestand. But really kind of the last couple of weeks, obviously, yeah, the hamstring thing that kept him out a little bit. But just seems like he's hit his first funk of the season. Pitchers have seemed to make adjustments on him. I just want to get your kind of thoughts there.
Yeah, so he was slashing 333. 385, 417 on April 8th. That's an 801 OPS. It looked like he had turned that corner. But you almost, when you were watching him hit and having that high average, you were still waiting for the exit velocities. Mm-hmm. He had the home run against the lefty. I believe it was Hobie Milner with the Brewers earlier on in the season. And you saw that and you thought to yourself, maybe Brett Beatty had figured it out. He came in with the confidence. The defense has been stellar so far. So you thought it maybe come to the plate, but he hasn't really made that adjustment yet to really drive the ball. And you're seeing now that that average and that BABIP, which was pretty low earlier on in the season, is starting to dip into his real numbers. Now he's batting 205. And okay. It's not great. You thought you'd make an adjustment. You thought he'd start driving the ball more, which we saw in AAA and AA. And it just hasn't trickled into the major leagues yet. So I think Brett Beatty's still a question mark offensively as of now.
Yeah, I agree. And that's kind of what I felt the whole time, you know, to start this year, to see what happened when he got into his first funk and see how pitchers adjusted to him and see what he would, you know, be able to adjust back. He hasn't done that so far. But that's kind of what this year is about. You give him another season to see what you kind of have and you can adjust from there. You know, you wish, hopefully he can figure everything out. He seems to, especially defensively, have gotten better. So I give him a lot of credit there. I know he worked with Lindor in the offseason, kind of took on his fielding program, which seemed to really help. But it would be great to, you know, see him become a much more consistent hitter. And who knows if that's going to happen or not, but this is a season where if you're going to give him 500, 600 at-bats to see really if you need to move on from him or, you know, make a different direction at third base going forward for 25 and beyond, this is kind of the season, I guess, you know, for him to do that. And hopefully he can kind of live up to the task here as they move forward.
Yeah. And he's only 24. So I don't think it's fair to give up on anybody yet. Well, he's had the 500 plate appearances, I believe, last season or the year before that. So he's definitely had his chances. I would say that this is really the year where the Mets figure it out. Mm-hmm. Obviously, David Stern said it was the transition year. They were talking about signing Justin Turner before he ended up signing with Boston. So you knew that even though they knew they had internal options, they might not have given Brett Beatty that. And right now, you know, athletically and defensively, he's staying in the lineup because there's not that many guys behind him. Joey Wendell could play third, maybe McNeil. Mark Vientos really wasn't that much an offensive bat when he was up last year. And his defense at third isn't that great either. So I would say the defense and athleticism is really keeping him in. But yeah, there's no reason why the Mets wouldn't at least give him the year to try and figure it out offensively. And we know he's a great player. I mean, he had a 3.45 slash line in AAA. So you're almost just waiting for him to either recognize the big league pitching or make that one adjustment to where he can get back to the player he was, which was a 300 average, maybe 20 to 25 homer guy, and why he was a top 20 prospect in baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully he can get that confidence going. Like you said, you know, you don't want to give up on somebody that young. But this is the season, like you said, he got a full season of bats last year. So now this is really for the Mets to kind of see what they want to go moving forward. And hopefully he can make those adjustments, like you said. But kind of last thing here to round everything out, I do want to talk pitching, but in particular, minor league pitching. Christian Scott in particular, 20 innings pitched so far, 20.2 innings pitched this year. He's got 34 strikeouts. Sorry, the number kind of got away from me there. So 34 strikeouts and 20 and two-thirds inning pitched. He's got a whip of 0.7 right now, which is great. His strikeouts per nine are at 8.5. Seems to, every time he takes the ball, seems to get more and more dominant at AAA. Just want to get your thoughts on him, what he's doing right now, and what, you know, your guess of when you think he'll be making, you know, a start for the big league club sooner than later.
Yeah, well, first of all, Christian Scott, what a great, great story. Just in case you don't know, quickly, was a reliever in college at Florida. Mets draft him. Excuse me, they've now stretched him out over into a starter. And last season, if you were following along with the Christian Scott mania, I mean, it was insane. They gave him the rehab start in St. Lucie. Mm-hmm. Then he came up in Brooklyn, had a 2.28. Excuse me, again. And then he went to Double A and had a 2.47. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Christian Scott, just what a great story. And now this year he starts in AAA, and like you said, absolutely dominating. And if you had to ask me when I think we could see him, it could be in less than a month. I mean, sure. The Mets starters haven't given a lot of length. The bullpen's getting overworked. They might extend to a six-man rotation just to give guys like Sean Manaea and Luis Severino a little less mileage.
Sure.
So we could see him in 3 weeks, maybe 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, if he keeps doing what he's doing and shows that he has command of a secondary pitch the way he's kind of doing right now with this stretch of pitching, it would make sense. You know, we know that the Mets starters aren't giving them any sort of length at all, and they're not going to be able to sustain that this year, you know, despite the ERA and that sort of thing. So someone like Christian Scott, if he can come up and give them, I don't know, if he can give you 10 starts, 10 to 15 starts this year, maybe something like that, if he comes up within the next few weeks, like you're saying, that would be something not only, you know, to help the Mets this season, but you'd be able to understand what you have for next year and beyond as far as, you know, potentially anchor in that rotation. I mean, 4 walks right now, and like I said, 20 and two-thirds innings pitched. You really like seeing that. 6 home runs, don't love that, but obviously it's AAA, it's Syracuse. I don't know how the ball travels, that sort of thing. I don't know if you take that with a grain of salt, but, you know, that's something that I think Mets fans should be excited about. And like you said, in the next few weeks, expecting to see him with the big league club making some starts here.
Well, yeah, that was what I was going to say. Your biggest gripe with Christian Scott was he had 6 homers. And if you go to Citi Field and you bring that kind of talent there with the strikeout potential, I do think you see the home runs dip down a little.
Sure, sure. I know that they've talked about a little bit, you know, obviously, right now his stuff is crisp, but you know, secondary command might be a little something he struggles with when he comes into the big league level. But again, if he's showing that he has the confidence at the AAA level and is making, you know, making the Mets kind of you know, force their hand, it's a good year for him to get his growing pains out too. Obviously, they want to compete for a playoff spot and all that. But again, if you can get this guy up here and he can kind of work through some of those, you know, early on struggles, secondary command, things of that nature, and build that confidence, you know, like I said, for, you know, a bunch of starts here that can go into 25, it will go a long way for them.
Yeah. And we knew this year was going to be a transition year. And when you look at Dom Hamill, when you look at Christian Scott,
sure,
they got a lot of arms coming up. So mm-hmm. I truly do feel that, like you said, you give them 10 to 15 starts. Excuse me. And you really just let them continue to get mileage in the major leagues.
Yeah. And like you said, a 6-man rotation is probably great for everybody. Great for somebody like Scott, get their feet wet with not obviously having to be too daunting at the major league level. Cause we know, you know, a lot of these pretty much all starters now at the minor level are, and you know, their workload isn't made to be major league ready right away. So you know, would help him there. Like you said, guys like Manaea, Quintana, Severino kind of get extra rest. Sanga, when he eventually comes back, you know, that would only help him as well. So it would be, you know, it'll be interesting to see once Scott gets up here, what they do to make that adjustment and try to hopefully get the most out of their starters and get like the most length out of their starters, whether it's a 6-man or whatever that they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when you talk about the starters and the length that you're getting from mm-hmm. those starters, you knew that it was going to be a little iffy.
Sure.
You knew that Shamania as a starter in San Francisco wasn't really getting stretched out. You also knew that Adrian Hauser wasn't really getting stretched out.
Sure.
So you knew it was going to be a problem. And you don't know if they're maybe going to bring up an arm like Lucchese mm-hmm. at some point to give mm-hmm. them length. But yeah, I definitely think those starters really give you added on innings. And that's all you really need from the Mets right now. You need to get innings and you need the offense to really get going in this transition year. And that's something that we all talked about in the offseason. And I think now that you see the vision almost with the pitching and the defense, you know it's going to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned Lucchese. He'll definitely be making some starts this year. Listen, in baseball, we know now you need 6, 7, 8 starters as it is. And in the Mets case, they probably need more like 8 or 9 to get through this kind of year, especially if they want to stay competitive and not drain the bullpen out completely by July. I mean, we saw what happened. Last year was the other extreme with the starting pitching. Obviously, they got nothing out of anyone, and we know what happened. But any amount of extra back-end starters, extra depth guys to get this rotation in a spot where hopefully guys aren't, burned out by June, July, August there. That would be great for them. But that's going to wrap everything up for this week. We'll catch you next week. Until then, hopefully it's a nice weekend for the Mets here. Good opening series for JD Martinez. But we'll catch you up with all that. And as always, let's go Mets.